Today on Hardwired.
Perseverance is a characteristic that God clearly blesses. Now, let me tell you, church, we're living in a day where the Bible predicts there's going to be an apostasy. People are going to literally walk away from the faith. And you know what that means? There's going to be a lot of fainting. A lot of people are going to faint. They're going to faint for several reasons. They're not going to like the persecution, so they're going to faint and walk away, and they're not going to persevere to the end.
You are listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious and filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. We know that you're going to enjoy the message, but you can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, hardwired.org. Let's get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Hardwired.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Hardwired. You know, it seems like just about everything around us these days is being shaken. The economy, gas prices, nations, political parties, and unfortunately, a lot of churches. Many high-profile churches worldwide have been shaken by controversy, compromise, and sadly, even corruption. But we must bring to mind the promise of our Lord Jesus, who said, "The gates of hell will not prevail against my church." Today, we're going to take a trip to the book of Revelation to discover just what kind of church brings God's blessing. What positives did Jesus point out that brought his favor on certain churches? I'm excited to share this encouraging word with you, so let's get started with the message, "The Church God Blesses."
Going to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 12. Let's quickly read through it, and I want to talk to you today about the church God blesses, the church that God blesses. Revelation 1, verse 12. "When I turned to see who was speaking to me," this is John talking, "I saw seven gold lampstands, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest." Listen to the way Jesus looked. "His head and his hair were white like wool." Hallelujah, glory to God. We're getting there. "As white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth. And his face was like the sun in all its brilliance." That's why he will be the one that lights up heaven. Verse 17, "When I saw him," John says, "I fell at his feet like I was dead. But he laid his right hand on me and said, 'Don't be afraid. I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm the living one.'" Listen to this, everybody. "I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. Write down what you have seen, John, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen." This is the meaning. Now listen closely, everybody. He's going to tell us a couple of things about what John saw. "This is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands." Let me tell you what they meant. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. We're a lampstand. That's how Jesus saw the church. You know, I'm looking forward to the day that we just go out there in the highways and hedges and preach outside the church walls. You are anointed to do that too. Amen. Now, there's three things going on here with what we read. First, Jesus appears to John as the glorious resurrected Messiah. What an incredible sight Jesus was. Eyes like fire, hair white like wool, skin like polished bronze, a voice that sounded like you were standing at Niagara Falls. All right? A mighty, resurrected Messiah. And how different than he was when he was on earth in appearance. So John sees him. And this is the opening of the book of Revelation. This is the opening vision that John sees. Now, second, he's seen standing in the midst of seven lampstands. That is, Jesus is. Jesus is seen standing in the midst of the seven lampstands. Can you imagine with me Jesus standing right there in the midst? of us, standing right there. So it tells us that he is integrally connected to his church. He is there in the midst. He's not off on Mars somewhere. He's in our midst. He's here. He dwells among us. If we love him, preach his name, and stay true to him. And the lampstands, Jesus identifies as the seven churches. But then the resurrected Messiah standing in the midst of the churches has something in his right hand, and it's seven stars. And so we go, well, what are the seven stars? Well, he tells us. He says the seven stars are seven angels. Now, it's very important that we understand here that in the Greek language, when the translators went to translate from Greek to English, they called the Greek word angelos, angels. But angelos means messengers. That's what it means. So in his right hand are seven messengers. Well, he can't be talking about literal angels as the translators translated it, because he's going to be handing out warnings and corrections to them. And see, angels don't sin. Angels don't make mistakes. They don't need to be corrected because they're flawless. They perfectly obey God. So he can't be talking about angels here. Well, then who's he talking about? He's talking about, I believe, the leadership of the church, the angelos, the messengers, not just the senior speaker or the what they would call today the lead teacher or whatever, senior pastor, but I believe all church leadership can be lumped into it. He says, I'm holding in my right hand the seven messengers in the seven churches that are like lampstands. So we are the light of the world. Literally, every church is supposed to be a lampstand. No man lights a candle, puts it under a bushel, but they put it on a candlestick so that it gives light to all that are in the house. Like what happened to me at DFW Honda. See, the church spilled out into DFW Honda. And what happened at DFW Honda? Well, the light came on and the Holy Spirit began to move. And it was light. I was representing you and us, this church. I was a lampstand. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. So very important that we get this now, because he's talking about the messenger. So what he's going to say now, we're going to see in the first three chapters of Revelation that Jesus addresses these seven churches that are lampstands. He's got something to say to every one of them. Five of them, he gives good and bad. He commends them for certain things, and he corrects them for certain things. Five of the seven. One of those five gets no commendation at all. It's all correction. Two of them don't get corrected at all. Jesus gives them a great big attaboy. You're doing everything right. So out of seven of them, five get corrected. But here's what I want to point out. To every one of them, he begins his word with this. He says, I know your works. I know your works. I know your works. Because see, I'm standing in the midst of the seven churches. I'm right there. I'm seeing everything. Nothing escapes my eyes that are like a flame of fire. My eyes have x-ray vision. I see everything is laid out before me. And so I know your works. Now, when he says works, he means I know your deeds. I know what you're preaching and not preaching. I know what you're allowing and not allowing. I know what you're doing and not doing. I know what your outreach is. I know what it's not. I know how bright your light is or how not so bright it is. I know if you're compromising. I know everything about you. I know your works. And he tells every one of them, those four words are the opening salvo to every one of these churches. I know your works. Now, knowing that and looking at what he says to the seven churches, you can do this. You can either focus on the criticisms he made of them, or you can focus on the positives. Well, hey, it's been a tough year. I'm not focusing on the criticisms. I want to focus on the positives, because he commends them. He says, here's what you're doing right. Here's what you're doing that I can amen. Here's what you're doing that I can put my blessing on. So I want to talk about the church God blesses. How many of you want to be in a blessed church? All right. So let's talk about the church that God blesses. What three characteristics is all I have time for. But I'm going to pull three things out that he says to the ones he commends. There's a repetition. There's a repetition. There's three things he points out that is true of more than one of them. So here they are. And I want you to say them with me. Say perseverance, kept the faith, kept his name. Oh my, how important this is. They persevered in the work of God. They kept the faith and they kept Jesus' name. Now, let's start with perseverance. Jesus recognizes and commends perseverance in several of these churches. Let me read a couple of examples. He says to the Ephesian church, here it is, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your perseverance. And you have persevered and have patience. Now that's a commendation. That's a pat on the back. That's Jesus saying, I can bless that and I can honor that and I can commend you for that. You have persevered. The verse goes on, and you have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. You didn't faint. You didn't give up. You didn't put up the white flag. You didn't walk away, but you persevered to the end. You persevered. You didn't quit. The spirit of quit did not get on you. You persevered. Same thing to the church in Thyatira. Jesus says, I know your works. I know your love. I know your service. I know your faith. And I know your patience. Same word, perseverance. So perseverance is a characteristic that God clearly blesses. Now, let me tell you, church, we're living in a day where the Bible predicts there's going to be an apostasy. People are going to literally walk away from the faith. And you know what that means? There's going to be a lot of fainting. A lot of people are going to faint. They're going to faint for several reasons. They're not going to like the persecution, so they're going to faint and walk away, and they're not going to persevere to the end. There are some that are going to get caught up in some kind of sin, and because they get caught up in some kind of sin, they're just going to walk away, and they're not going to persevere. There are people that are going to get caught up in the cares of this world and the lust for riches, and because different things grab their attention and lure them away from the faith, they're going to give up, and they're not going to persevere. That's the word of God.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, hardwired.org. You'll find today's program along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's a growing list of great things to check out at the site. So hop on over and check it out, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. And be sure to tell your friends about the program. We know you're being blessed by it. I'm sure your friends will be as well. We're here to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. So getting the word out will help us on this mission. And that's what this program is all about. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
Paul told Timothy, in the last days, many are going to depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And they're not going to persevere. There's something to be said for perseverance. Perseverance means to continue in the work of the Lord without giving up. To continue in the work of the Lord and in your walk with the Lord without giving up. It means you continue in spite of adversity, in spite of setbacks, in spite of letdowns, in spite of disappointments, in spite of betrayals, in spite of you fail a little bit here and there and you're discouraged over your own behavior, but you don't give up. You persevere. You put on perseverance. You know what it says about Jesus? It says about our Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would have this characteristic. He set his face like a flint. Now that means when you set your face like a flint, that is a metaphor for somebody who has resolved in their heart, no matter what comes my way, I will not quit. I will not put up the white flag. I will not walk away. I will walk with Jesus to the end. Did Jesus not do this in the Garden of Gethsemane? Do you remember when Jesus prayed? Jesus was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Literally, the corpuscles were bursting under his skin. He so dreaded what he was about to experience. And I want you to note what Jesus prayed. He said, Father, if there is any way that I can get out of this, If there is any other path I can take, if there's any other route I can walk and still accomplish the same thing, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. What was he doing right there? Setting his face like a flint. I will not quit. I'm going to go all the way to the cross and die for the sins of men. And he did it. And you know what we are? We're the result of the perseverance of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God Jesus persevered, because what else did he say? He said, don't you know that I could call right now on the Father and he would send 12 legions of angels to whisk me out of here? I could get out of this place immediately, but I'm not going to do it, because the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost and to give his life a ransom, a substitute for many. And so he persevered. He set his face like a flint. Now, folks, it's going to take that in these last days with every believer who names the name of Jesus. It's going to take perseverance. We've got to walk in perseverance. We've got to make up our mind. No matter what they say about me, no matter how hard the going gets, I have resolved to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. I am going to persevere to the end. Jesus said, he that endures, same word, he that endures to the end shall be saved. This is why there's verses like this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Why would doing good get you tired? I'll tell you why. Because when you're doing good in the name of Jesus, you're going to be targeted by the devil and you're going to find yourself in warfare. And when you're in warfare, what he's saying is, when you're in warfare, don't get tired. Don't give up. Don't walk away. Don't quit praying. Don't quit going to church. Don't quit reading your Bible. Don't quit. But put on perseverance. Set your face like a flint, like the captain of our salvation did. Set your face like a flint. So let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Notice how perseverance plays a part in you obtaining what God has for you. Let me put it this way. Very little of what God has for you is going to be obtained by you without perseverance. Amen. Because between the promise and the provision, there is always a problem. There's always a lag time. There's always a wait time. There's always a keep on keeping on time. Between the promise and the provision, there is that lag time between the two where you've got to put on perseverance. And isn't it funny how, looking back, I can look back on my own life and say the times that I felt like quitting the most were the times when I was almost there. When the provision was almost there. Have you ever noticed that sometimes the devil chooses to attack with the greatest ferocity just before the provision comes? Because he wants to get you to quit. He wants to get you and me to walk away. He wants us to say, well, God's taking too long. And maybe he didn't hear my prayer. And maybe it's just not for me. Maybe I haven't been praying according to the will of God. I don't know what it is, but I know this. I've had it. I'm fed up. I'm just going to walk away. And then it's something how you say, all right, I said that, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep persevering. And suddenly the breakthrough comes. The answer comes. The provision comes. And you realize the devil was trying to stop you just before. That's why we need perseverance. They persevered. These churches, through the evil of their time. Jesus says, you cannot bear those who are evil. That's one of the things they were persevering through. You're having to persevere in the evil of your generation, the evil of your time. Times full of evil, times full of evil deeds and evil people required perseverance on the part of the church. They had to persevere in evil times when their whole message was being countered by the message of their culture. They had to continue anyway. They persevered in the evil of their times. They persevered in the presence of evil men. And are we in any different place? No, America is on a slip and slide into the pit. And what are we to do? Give up and say, well, you know, I just can't handle being a Christian in this seething cauldron of temptation and deception. No. Listen, trying times are the worst times to quit trying. No, you keep going. You keep pushing. You keep pressing. You keep moving forward, putting one foot in front of the other, knowing that the Savior is going to hold you up and His grace is sufficient for you. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. We are not to give up, but we are to put on Jesus, put on the armor of light, and get out there like I did at DFW Honda and let it go. They persevere in the presence of false apostles and false prophets and teachers. Jesus said to them, "You have tested those who say they are apostles and they're not, and found them liars." False teachings and false prophets had infiltrated the church of that day. Can I blow your mind with something? Did you know of the 27 books of the New Testament, 26 of them deal with false teaching and false prophets? Did you know that? No, you got a case of the no-nods today. Let me see. I didn't know that. All right. Of the 27 books of the New Testament, 39 old, 27 new, 26 of them deal with the issue of false teachers and false prophets. Only one doesn't, the book of Philemon. That's it. Aside from the book of Philemon, all the rest of the New Testament gospels, the four gospels and the letters, they deal with false teachers and false prophets. I wonder why. Because there were a lot of false teachers and false prophets. And there are today too. Listen to Peter. There were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be. Everybody say will be. False teachers among you and me. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Notice they will introduce into the church destructive heresy, which is false teaching. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. They ruin the testimony of the church by what they say and what they do. They ruin the testimony of the church. They bring the church into disrepute. Verse 3, in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated, made-up stories. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them. Their destruction has not been sleeping. How will they exploit you? That means they will take advantage of your ignorance. They will take advantage of your naivete. They'll take advantage of your trust. And they will introduce things they've made up. Oh yeah, I go to heaven every other day. I go up there to heaven all the time and talk to the apostles. Oh, that's out there. Oh yeah, I've got an angel. Me and the angel, we go for a walk regularly. I converse with my angel. Or I've got some real precious stones, crystals, and they give me power. Oh, I could go into so many false teachings that are out there. False prophecies, things that are uttered, predicted, that don't come to pass. They make things up. They'll make things up. I'm just reading the Bible to you. They will fabricate stories. Why? It says out of their greed. They're after your money. Did I come to preach today? Did I come to tell the truth today? I did. I'm not saying this is all of them. I believe in the gift of prophecy. I believe that it's real, but I also know because there's a real thing, there's a false thing, and you got to be careful. And Jesus is commending this church saying, you persevered in the midst of false apostles. You tested them. You took the time and trouble to test them, and you discovered that they were false. You didn't just let them slide, but you tested them, and I commend you for it. We sit around going, well, you can't judge anybody. Jesus just commended them for judging. Didn't he? Are you reading what I'm reading? But Pastor Jeff, that's just not love. It's not. If you have cancer and I'm a doctor and I say to you, I'm just not going to confess it. You're okay. Go home. No, I'm going to tell you the truth so that you can get it fixed. So there is a cancer in the church and it's false prophecy. False teachers are everywhere. And he commends them for testing their claims and persevering through the testing so that they were not taken in by it. Amen.
We appreciate you listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear this message and hardwire the teaching into their daily life. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online to our website at hardwired.org. And be sure to bookmark the web address to your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? Your valuable contribution makes a big difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a Hardwired partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or go online to hardwired.org, 877-884-3111 or hardwired.org. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very, very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.